Why don't we pray, then read our Bibles together? God, come to you and we thank you because you are good, kind, and loving. And you give us these moments that we can come together and come around your word as we open your word and read together. Come around your table as we together remember Jesus. We thank you that we can do that. So as we do, I pray, God, that the word that you have said is living and powerful, what we read from the Bible, that it would indeed, through the power of your Spirit, be made alive in us, and that you would draw us to you and help us to know and love you better, that your Spirit would help us to discern your word together, and that you would apply your word to each one of us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All righty. So there is a, well, before I start, let me get everything set up. Okay, there we go. Perfect angle. All right. There is. We're going to want a Bible for this, so flip over to the Psalms. We're going to jump around a little bit, but we will stay mostly in the Psalms. There is a curious phrase. I call it a curious phrase in the Psalms, something that I realized this week that I've kind of jumped over as I've read. I've read it. I've even sung this phrase. So I've had songs, a couple of songs and choruses, one from my childhood going through my mind all week long. And I realized I haven't ever thought about this phrase as in, what does this phrase actually mean? Let's see if you can pick it out. Look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Go to Psalm 66. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Verse 20. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all the places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And skip over to Psalm 104. Not a large skip. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Look at verse 35 at the end. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Psalm 134. Come, bless the Lord. All you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord, lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. One more. Psalm 135. Look at verse 19. O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion, he who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So probably, and this may not strike you as a curious phrase, but you probably picked it out because it was repeated over and over again, is bless the Lord, or I will bless the Lord, or I bless the Lord, whether it's the command form or the I'm going to do it form. Either way, it's blessing God. And while you may not find that a curious phrase, maybe it doesn't jump out at you and grab you, all week long, I've just been grabbed by that one phrase. It seems curious to me on the face of it, because he's telling us that we can bless God. That's the big idea that when I read these texts all together, that's the idea that I come out with. It's we can bless God. We can and should bless God. And I find that idea curious. And weird would be the wrong word. Just curious, surprising. It's to think that we could bless God. Think about it. When I think about God and blessings at the same time, what's the thing that comes to mind? I want God to bless me. I want God to bless you. We want God to bless us. We tell each other. That's our thing that we desire for each other. We tell each other, may God bless you. God bless you. May God bless you. That we want God to bless us. And to think that we could bless God, that's the opposite of what we normally think. I want to receive blessing from God. I know how much I need blessing from God. It's counterintuitive to imagine that I could bless God, it's almost backwards, but the texts are clear, aren't they? We read many of them. That we can bless God. There are many other texts, of course, that describe how God blesses us. It's not one or the other, but without a doubt, the texts that we read tell us clearly we can and should bless God. So why would we bless God? Where does that need to bless God come from? First of all, it's because he commands us to do it. So think back over some of the texts that we read, like the Psalm 103, go back to that one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. He's talking to himself, but he's commanding himself to bless God. Small leap to infer that would be a commandment for us as well, but there's others that are more explicit. Look at Psalm 134. Verse 1, come, bless the Lord. So now it's a commandment for y'all. It's not him, although he would be included in that. It's everyone. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. We should bless God because he's commanded us to bless him. We're supposed to do it. And also, we bless God because he has blessed us. It's a cyclical relationship. Almost every psalm that we looked at so far, the parts that we didn't read are large descriptions of all the blessings that God gave them. Very similar to what we looked at last week. How much God is blessing me. Names thing after thing after thing that God has done for them in the context of bless the Lord and look at how much he's blessed us. And so now we should bless him. We bless God because he has blessed us. Look at Psalm 103 again. Look at verse 3. After he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 3, he says, who forgives? So now talking about God, and he starts naming just what God has done for them. Who forgives all your iniquity? That right there. Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. And we bless God because he has blessed us. Or as Paul described, when I think of those words together, the verse came to mind, Ephesians chapter 1. This is the one exit from Psalms. We'll go right back. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We bless God because as we remember what he has done for us, the only appropriate response is to turn around and bless him. So if we can, and indeed should, because it's commanded, bless God, then we have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? How do you even do that? I say, God bless you this week, Ben. And what am I thinking? I'm hoping that God will do something in his life, that God will smile with favor on him. And I'm desiring that, and so I'm saying that. And I'm hoping that that will happen. What does it mean for us to bless God? And how do we even do that? The word that's used in the Psalms to bless God is a word that has to do with blessing someone or kneeling before another person. And that duality, the kneeling before and the blessing together, that starts to take us into what it means to bless God. Different commentaries use the phrase, and I found this helpful to describe this word that's used when it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. It's as if we were to worship God with affection, with our hearts, with feeling, with gratitude. And we see it in the text as well. Look at Psalm 104. Look at this union between blessing and worshiping. Psalm 104, verse 35, let sinners be consumed from the earth, let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And right on the heels of that, praise the Lord. So bless the Lord, praise the Lord, as if they were not two different things. Go back to where we started. Go to Psalm 34, I believe it is. Yeah, Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. And then on the heels of that, again, not talking about two different things. It's as if they go together, because they do. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Or Psalm 66. Verse 8, bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. Blessing God has to do with praising him. It has to do with crying out in worship to God. So we start to see that blessing God has to do with glorifying God. It's worshiping him. It's lifting him up. It's exalting him. And then we might feel like we're on a little bit more stable ground, because the idea of blessing God might be conceptual, but glorifying God is something that we talk about quite often, don't we? It's all over the Bible. We are to glorify God. We talk about what that means. That's what God seeks from his creation. So when God blesses us, if I were to desire God, I hope God blesses you. And then you say, God did bless me. He did. What did he do? Well, he lifted me up somehow. He exalted me more than I deserved. He gave me some benefit, some blessing. He helped me. God was active in my life. He did something for me. When we bless God, we can't lift him up any higher than he already is. He's already over all. He's highly exalted. He reigns and rules from heaven. But we can raise him up in our minds and in our hearts higher than everything else, to where he should be at the center of our hearts, at the center of our affections. And when we do that, you would say, well, that's glorifying God. Yes, it is. And it's also blessing God. It's the same thing. We can't give God some benefit, but I hope God blesses you this week at your job. And you know he is, because he's helping me find favor with the people I work with, and I got a raise, and I'm receiving some benefit, some blessing from God. We can't give God a something like a benefit, a blessing, as if he could receive something from us. But we can open our mouths, and we can give him worship and praise, sacrifice of praise. That's blessing God. So when I say I'm going to bless the Lord, it's as if I were saying I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to exalt God. I'm going to magnify, lift up, praise God. And that's how I think we can find something in this idea of blessing God that changes it from just a curious phrase. It's, bless God. I want God to bless me. Wouldn't know how to bless God, changes it from something that's just a curious phrase that we read in the Psalms to something that actually can help us. Because if we frequently talk about glorifying God, about praising God, and sometimes even though that, no matter how much we talk about it, feels kind of intangible. But when I think about, I'm going to bless the Lord, I'm going to raise him up, I'm going to kneel before him and worship him, it's as if just looking at it from a different angle, the same thing gives new life, gives new inspiration, gives new passion to my service, and my worship, and my praise to God. So how do we bless God? And let's let the text tell us. Every mention, so we'll go through some of the text. We'll start in Psalm 34. Every mention of blessing God, I will bless God, y'all bless God. Every mention of blessing God is surrounded by instructions and examples of how to bless God, of what we do when we bless him. And not to let the cat out of the bag, but I will. It's the same way that we bless God is the way we glorify God, is the way we worship God. Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. When we can't stop talking about how good God is and has been to us, when our mouth is full of his praise, whether it's sung praise or spoken praise, when all we can talk about is our good God, we are blessing God. When we glory in, when we rejoice in, when we find our joy in God, when we are satisfied in him, when we raise him up in our hearts, no matter what circumstances surround us, we bless God. Psalm 66, verse 8, again says, bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. And then that harkens back. Go to verse 1 of the same chapter, Psalm 66, verse 1. So verse 8, bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard. And then verse 1, Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. When we sing to God, the full voice, out loud, we raise our voice to God with joy, with enthusiasm. I was thinking, I should have said this before we sang together today, but some of us are saying, I did that. Some of us are saying, next week, when I get driving home today, I'll rectify that. When we do that, we bless God. When we remember what he's done, his works, like we saw last week, and then thank him for that, we bless God. Go to Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. Now think about what he's telling God. And on the face of it, again, this is something that is also, this could be another sermon. This is something that kind of appears ludicrous on the face of it. It's you're telling God stuff about himself. And if anyone knows what he is like, it is him. But he's telling God what he's like about himself and in the context of blessing him. So bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, gathering out, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. When we describe what God is like to himself, as odd as that may seem, kind of like Jesus in his model prayer taught us to pray to God, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed, sanctified, saint, holy be your name, because yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Things God knows about himself, but who he is, when we tell God, when we proclaim who God is, we bless God. One more, Psalm 134. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. When we serve God by proclaiming his gospel and serving his kingdom and serving others, we bless God. So what should we do? We should obey what the text told them to do and tells us to do. We should bless God. We should bless God every day. We should have in our minds, I will bless the Lord today in this moment. And if you are not a Christian in this moment and you're listening to this, if you've never surrendered to Jesus by repenting and being baptized, the greatest way that you can bless God, that you can glorify God, is surrendering to him and letting him work his transforming power in you by making you be born again and completely changing you and forgiving your disobedience and filling you with his Holy Spirit. You do that when you surrender to Jesus, when you repent and are baptized, in that moment when you accept him as your Savior and Lord. And as you kneel before God in your heart in that moment, as you are repenting and being baptized, you're blessing him, and you receive in that moment the greatest blessing from him that you ever could. You become his beloved and forgiven child. And in this community, when you say, I'm ready to make that decision, big decision, but when you say, I'm ready to make this decision, tell one of us who's been up here, you can repent and be baptized. For those of us who are Christians, we should bless God. Of course we should. He's our Father. We're in the place of David in the Psalms. We should bless God at all times. How do we do that? Well, a couple ideas. These might be helpful, might seem superficial to you for what they're worth. We should start every day this week, right? Because every day for all time is way too long to do something. But this week, we should start this week. Every day when we get up, we should say, try to remember, I'm going to bless the Lord today with my words and with my song, with my attitude and with my time and by serving my family and by denying my flesh and not sinning. By speaking the gospel to other people, by reflecting God's love to the people around me, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times today. As I go through today, I will bless God as I live my life today. And as we do things throughout the day, we should think to ourselves, I want to bless God as I do this. Where you're struggling against sin, you're trying to not say the thing or do the thing, and I want to bless God I don't just want to not sin. I want to bless the Lord by obeying Him. I want to bless God as I do this. And then as we do that, as we consciously think, I want to bless God as I'm doing this. I want to glorify and exalt my King as I do this thing, as I say this thing, as I do this job, as I talk to this person. We can let the idea of being able to bless God bring new life to our service and our worship of God. And now, in this moment, there's something special that happens. Every week it happens. Both sides of blessing come together. In this moment, we're preparing to take bread and juice and remember Jesus on the cross. And as we do that, that is a moment that we lift up, that we glorify, that we bless the Lord together for what He has done for us. And also, it's a moment where we remember what He has done for us as He gave us the blessing, the greatest blessing that we could ever, that we have ever, that we will ever receive from God. So as we bless God for that, we're remembering that incredible blessing that He's given us, greater than getting good grades or being blessed at work or, you know, making money or friends or cars or houses or good food or all the other blessings He gave us and gives us. He gave us His Son. He sent Him to earth. He took upon Himself our wickedness. And then He took that to the cross. And there He experienced the wrath of God as He was crucified. And through His death, those of us who are in Him have peace with God. We are His beloved children. We're completely forgiven. That is the greatest blessing that there is. And now as we take bread and we take juice, we remember that. And together, as we do that, we bless the Lord together by glorifying Him and worshiping Him and thanking Him. God, we come to You and we thank You. Thank You for everything You give us, for every blessing that You give us. But more than anything, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You that we can know Him. We thank You, God, that You've removed, for those of us who are Your children, You remove the veil from our hearts and our eyes, and we can see You and know You and love You. Thank You that You've given us Your Spirit. Thank You that we can know that we are loved and forgiven and accepted and approved and eternally secure. And all of that is because of Jesus and what He did on the cross. So as we remember that now, we thank You and we bless You. In Your name we pray. Amen.